Good morning and happy Sabbath. It's been a while since I've been up here to do the main service, and it might be a little while more. Somehow I'm not as nervous, but I know many of you were here for Dave Westbrook's little series that he had, and one of the things he said that stuck in my mind was that you shouldn't expect a sermon every Sabbath. I enjoy a good sermon, but I also enjoy good testimonies. So today I have asked two young men to share testimonies with us today. The sermon title was He Leadeth Me, and it's very interesting as you get to talk to and get to know these two men that come from two different backgrounds and happen to come to the same island and to the same church, and getting to know them, it is very apparent that God was leading them here and for whatever purpose he's leading them to. I'd like to call up Ben first. One thing I love about Ben is that if you notice, every time you look at him, he's always smiling. You can't tell if he's going through a trial or if he's happy or whatever it is. But even when you talk to him, if he's even able to understand what you're saying, he just smiles and he nods his head, yes. So he's always very happy. And I don't know if you know, but Ben was a student in the Philippines studying to be a pastor. But he's here now. And so as we were talking, he knows that maybe one of his missions or his calling in life was to spread the gospel. The only thing he didn't know was that God put him in a place where he couldn't do it in Filipino. He had to do it in English. So it makes it a lot tougher. So at this time, I'd like to call up Ben up to give his testimony.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. I would like to share what God had inspired me to share to you this morning. First of all, I would like to thank and praise God for leading me, leading my life, and molding me in His love. I would like to share to you just a short testimony. When I was still a teenager, I don't have any interest about God. But my parents were so persistent in asking me to go to church. So they even scold me sometimes. So what I do is I run away from home and hang out with my friends. Being always with my friends, I learned a lot of bad habits and other foolishness. I even mock somebody when I see them holding a Bible or an elder, walking, going to church. But behind this foolishness, I am hurting inside. I started to think deeper because of the poverty that we are experiencing and all the hardship of life. And then I thought of the religious people. I am wondering, what are they getting or benefiting from going to church? And little did I know, God is already working in my heart. From then on, I started to open the Bible and read it regularly, and I found myself getting interested on reading it. So I found all the answers to all my questions. Then a few months passed, a pastor came and started giving me Bible studies, and pretty soon I got baptized last 2005. After graduating in high school, I didn't go immediately to college because of lack of finances, because in the Philippines it's different thing than here. It's a kind of hard life. So then I started to work different hard jobs at the age of 17. But God's caring eyes were looking down upon me, and not knowing, He has a plan for me and my other siblings. Because during the time, we were not studying, but we're all working. Praise God for people who care for the needs of others. Not only for temporary worldly needs, but even their spiritual eternal future. A ministry that is based here in the United States of America sponsored my 5 siblings and I. 2 were in high school and 4 of us in college. All in our own Adventist schools in the Philippines. So when the 4 of us enrolled in college, we decided to take theology, 4 of us. Because we want to share God's love to others. We want to share what we have known. But later on, my 2 sisters shifted their course into education. Unfortunately, the U.S. economy and even the whole world's economy began to collapse. Adapt a Minister International, our sponsor, could no longer support us. Adapt a Minister International were only able to support us for only 2.5 years. But anyway, when I was still in college taking up theology, there I learned more about God's love and His purpose in my life. And in college, I learned and I joined different religious activities, just like such as corporate program, mission trips, giving Bible study every afternoon, Sabbath, retreats, and others. There I realized what's God's purpose in my life. And there I found myself happy in serving God and other people. The questions I used to ask about life were made clearer. I learned that life has a worth. It cost the life of the only Son of God. Jesus cares so much for me that He is willing to die for me. My Father in heaven was willing to send His only Son to suffer and die just for me and you, my brethren, to experience joy and hope this morning, not only for the future, but also at the present. Let's open our Bible on the book of 2 Corinthians 12, chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. I would like to read it. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This Bible, God the Father wants me to be reconciled to Him. Because I was once a rebellious child. Jesus has to take this and suffer for my sins. All of our sins. Because God wants us to be with Him in heaven someday. Notice in verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are God's representative that we should share to others. The gospel means it is the story about His love, the one who saved us, who redeemed us. I also want to read Proverbs 22, verse 6. It is a popular verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This Bible truth has been proven to be true in my own experience. I praise and thank God for blessing me with parents who persistently led me to God. Parents, your kids may be in rebellion right now, but hold on unto this promise and continually pray for them. God cares for every young man and woman. especially for those that are lost. For the last verse, in the book of Mark 2, 15 to 17. Just follow me. I just want to read it. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, and many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't come for the righteous, but for the sinners like me, and to all young people who has gone astray. Each one is very important in the sight of God. I grew up in a poor family, and God used that to be a blessing for my spiritual life. If I had everything, I may not have need of God and an interest of knowing Him. Or just like the young rich ruler, it would have been hard for me to give up worldly possessions and follow God. I learned from my experience that God is always working in the lives of His children, especially if we allow Him to. Once we allow Him, He will see us through till the end of our journey. Good morning.
Thank you, Ben. You know, I asked Ben, and the first thing he did was look at me and smile. I don't think he wanted to say yes, but like he read in the scripture, he knew he was an ambassador, so he knew he had to say yes. Next, I'd like to call up Ryan, and if you haven't gotten to know or meet him, he is here with his wife, Marina. And we met a couple of years ago, yeah? You came here, and he was kind of searching. And as you get to sit down and talk with him, to me, it's actually kind of surprising that he's here, only because of the way I perceive him. He's very cerebral, so everything is very well thought out, you know, planned. And then just to come to this island with nothing really and no job, just graduating from school, to me is a move in faith. So I'd like you to hear his story. I'd like to call up Ryan.
Good morning. This month actually marks 2 years from our first visit here in Puna Church. And God has done a lot for us in this period of time. 18 months after our first visit here, we moved to the island. And it's been a real faith journey. And so I just wanted to share a little bit of the highlights of our journey with you. In 2008, my wife and I were living in Collegedale, Tennessee, on the campus of Southern Adventist University. And we'd been married about 2.5 years at the time. And we had plenty of goals and aspirations that we were working toward. Being here and doing what we're doing now was nowhere, of course, on the list. But God has brought us through a special experience. In May of that year, we were invited to attend a series of meetings on the campus of Southern. And my parents had actually invited us, coaxed us, eventually persuaded us to attend this series of meetings. It was about 12 or so hours of meetings spread over 2 days, and the series was the message of country living. Now, country living is, it's more than meets the eye at first glance. It's really a multifaceted message that God has given us. You have so many various aspects. For example, the role of country living in last days events and God's protection of His people and the plan he has for us there. You also have the role of country living in raising healthy and happy families, children that are sheltered from some of the influences of the world, for enhanced spiritual life, you know, the time outside in nature and with God and with agriculture. Also, you have independence, greater independence and freedom to live your convictions, as well as to not get so tied up with society and the world, as far as you know, you can grow some of your own food and generate some of your own power and just live a simpler, I would say possibly a happier way of life. And so we went to this message totally disinterested in the topic. We had just promised to attend the first hour, and then we were off the hook and we were going to rapidly go on our way. When we went there, we were deeply impressed by the family that were sharing this message. They had been graduates of Southern, and they were professional builders of luxury homes in Atlanta. And several years earlier, about 5 or so years earlier, they had felt impressed by God to close down their business there. They'd felt that they had gotten sidetracked from their purpose in life, and to find a quiet country place where they could kind of reconnect and get to know God again. And not just that, but kind of a ministry outpost where they could serve others. And just listening to their testimony really moved us. And so we stayed beyond that first hour, and we stayed for all 12 hours over the next 2 days. We rescheduled some things we had going on, and we left there deeply impressed with the message that we had heard. After we left, we prayed a lot, we thought a lot, we studied a lot about the scriptural and prophetic implications. And the more we studied, the more we felt that it was not just a message. It was our message, and it was something that God wanted from us personally. It was a personal call, and we couldn't shake that impression. And so we decided that we would give into it. We would submit to God. Of course, our lifestyle changed fairly dramatically, or at least our plans and our way of living. I still had at that time about 5.5 years of education left. Nursing, I graduated from Southern with a degree in nursing this last December, but nursing was really more of a stopover on the way to some continuing education. However, in God's providence, as we put it before God and all of our other plans, we felt that it was time for us to do the priorities, what God was impressing us. And if he would give us opportunity to resume education at another time, then that would be up to him. But for now, he impressed us something. We needed to get to business and do what God wanted us to do. We dramatically restructured most everything about the way we did things, our finances. We realized we were going somewhere. We didn't know where we were going. Like the Bible says of Abraham, he went out not knowing whither he went. But we knew we were going somewhere, and it wasn't Collegedale. And we began to make plans to sell our things, to you know, change my course of study. I grew up, I was born in Los Angeles. I knew nothing about planting anything, growing, you know, anything outdoors. I really didn't know. And so we began to study. And so my wife and I, we both read numerous books on everything from gardening to alternative energy to home building. I took out some of the things that I wasn't going to need for the other majors I was heading for at the time. And I added a second major of construction management, which I did some classes, not to finish the degree. I never finished that, and I don't think I ever will. But I realized that we were going to need to build a little cottage, and I had no idea how to start. And so I took courses, and with other students at Southern, we got to build a house from scratch there nearby the campus. And so God took us on it was really a blessing. We really, from that day forward, kind of experienced a revival of sorts. up to that point, we'd been definitely living in spiritual mediocrity, and to some degree, we were pretty content with that. But after this this experience, we really felt impressed that there was something better, and we began to pursue that. You know, something I want to mention here that comes to my mind, a lesson that God taught us early on, was that in all things that God calls us to do, there's a spiritual partnership where we work and God works. In fact, in the spirit of prophecy, we read that the secret of success is human effort with divine power. And when you look at Bible stories and you see Moses on the mountain and God's calling him to do something, he's nervous and he doesn't know how to do it, and he says, how am I going to do this? And one of the first things God says to him is, what's in your hand? And you look at the story when they get led out of Israel, and the Egyptians are hot on their on the chase, and they're coming to the Red Sea, and all the children of Israel, they're standing on the Red Sea, and they're complaining, and they're wondering, they feel they're boxed in. What are we going to do? God's not going to rescue us. What is God saying? Step in the water. You know, God requires us, when we partner with him, to do all that we can do, and then he blesses that and makes it work. And so when we knew that we were going to go forward and we were going to do what God was impressing upon our hearts, we didn't know how we were going to do it, but we knew that certain things were within our control. We didn't have any money. We didn't, you know, like I said, know how to do certain things. But certain things we did have, I could take advantage of the tuition I was already paying and take construction classes. We could buy books and we could read. We could interact with other people who knew something and try to learn. And so, you know, we knew we were moving. Of course, we didn't know where, so why not get rid of the stuff you're going to need to get rid of? And so we began all of those things, and God slowly but surely began to open the way wider and wider for us. We considered many different possibilities as far as where to move, many different states, and investigated them, first from a logical perspective, and then you know, we brought them before the Lord. I have to cut some things out, of course, because of the brevity of this opportunity. But in general, God opened the way for us to come here. We came here kind of like the spies spying out Canaan, and that's where you found us 2 years ago on Sabbath. We were spying out the land, and we returned home and with a good report. And we had a wonderful experience here in this church. In fact, we have long considered that particular first Sabbath we had here as perhaps the best Sabbath of our entire lives. We really felt warmly welcomed by the individuals here, and all these strange ideas we had about, you know, the things we were going to do, we actually found people who were doing them, you know? And it was neat to know that, you know, it was neat to find some camaraderie and to learn from each of you. Anyhow, so we resumed school, we studied, we prayed, we worked, and we came here twice in that period of time, and we aggressively saved our money, and God really blessed our efforts. In short, basically, we graduated from Southern with my abbreviated degree. I graduated with a degree in nursing this past December, and we moved 9 days later. All of our things that we were selling, you know, we had all this shortly before we had made the decision for country living. We bought the whole place full of IKEA furniture. And of course, we were relying on some of that money to move. And everybody told us, hey, you can't sell that stuff. It's too, you know, it's too new. The price is too high, blah, blah, blah. God gave us everything we asked for as far as the prices we put on all of our things. We sold our entire apartment in 1 day, which was two bedrooms with, you know, all the living room and kitchen and dining room and all that stuff. So we sold everything in 1 day, all except one piece, which sold the next day. Then we sold my car, our vehicle. We knew that a small vehicle was not going to be the right thing for the rough roads of Hawaii, And so we put the car up for sale. And of course, the first thing I heard from everybody was, oh, it's too high. You're not going to sell it for that price. And that same day, the buyer found it. The next morning, they purchased it for the exact price we were asking. And so we graduated from Southern Adventist University, which, of course, you know, private, expensive. We graduated without any outside support, apart from, of course, divine support, without any debt, any financial debt. And that was really a miracle, how God blessed our savings over those months. So we came here with enough money to purchase another vehicle and 6 months of living expenses. Because of the nature of nursing, you know, you cannot really, it doesn't really work out too well to look for work before you have a license. And so so I wasn't able to do that work before we moved. So we came here, I studied for the board exams in Oahu. I went and took them about a month later. And then I was able to look for work. Of course, you hear every day nursing, you know, the world's in need of nursing and you're never gonna be short of work. And well, it took about 5 months for me to find any employment. And so for a period of 6 months, 1 month before we moved, I had no employment of any kind, not a single dollar income. And God was working with us. It was a faith experience. I know for a fact that He wanted us to go through that to learn to trust Him as our provider. We decided that we had some time on our hands since I wasn't doing too well with employment. And we decided that we needed some land. Of course, we were staying at a place not our own, and we needed to pursue the next step, which is to purchase some acreage to be able to eventually build a little ohana and maybe eventually a larger home and begin planting. And so before we ever got here, we decided to get on with agriculture because, you know, trees take time to mature, and we didn't want to waste any time. And so Uncle Charlie, about 2 months before we moved here, he offered to go to plant at Hawaii for me and picked up a whole truckload of trees that I had ordered from them. And we wanted that stuff maturing so that we could, you know, get fruit as soon as possible, even if it just meant shortening the amount of bearing time till bearing by a few months. So we were, from the beginning, trying to really work as fast as possible. And we started looking for land. Of course, I told you we didn't have any money. We didn't have even the slightest bit of money to put toward land. And we had always anticipated that we would purchase land about after we had got stable employment and had perhaps 9 months to a year. But since we had this time on our hands and we knew God had called us, we said, look, there's things we can do. Maybe we can't hand a check to someone, but we can do our homework and we can go and see the land and we can see what God does for us. And so we had been searching for land for 18 months. We'd visited many sites on our visits here. But at this time, God led us to a special place. And we visited this place, we stood on the land, and it felt different than all the other places we had been before. It felt right. It felt like this was the place that should be our home. And of course, we looked at each other, and we wondered, and we came home. We couldn't get it off our minds. And we said, we're about 9 months early. You know, we don't have the money yet. And so we said, well, it doesn't take, nobody's asking for a check right now. Maybe there's another step before we hit the brick wall, you know? And so we decided, why not write the sellers? So we wrote the sellers a letter. We looked them up. We found the tax map keys and found out, you know, who owned it, where they lived. And we sent the letter off telling them who we were, what we were doing, where we came from, and what we were planning to do with this land. And we sent a photo of ourselves, you know, smiling big. And so we sent the letter off. Well, and we also asked them if they would be interested to consider seller financing. The next day, we went to the lister's real estate agent, and we decided we could see if we could get some information there. And as we sat in this real estate agent's office and we told her our experience and we explained what we were doing, it became revealed that she was a Seventh-day Adventist and from Hilo Church. And she was inspired by what we were doing. And she herself had felt convicted about country living, and she wanted to help us. And so 2 days later, she called us and she said, you know, the sellers have got your letter, and they have decided that they will entertain seller financing offers as well as more traditional offers. Now that in itself, I didn't realize at the time, but was more of a miracle in itself, because the owners previous had, I mean, the same owners had previously turned down two offers for seller financing just because they were seller financing. They didn't want to have anything to do with owner financing. One of those offers just 2 months previous was for 100% of the asking price. They turned it down because they did not want seller financing. So the fact that 2 months later they were open to considering it with us was really a blessing. And so we said, okay, when one door is open, let's move forward. And so we prayed and thought and prayed and thought, and we said, okay, maybe we can, you don't have to have money to make an offer, right? No, okay, so let's make an offer. So so we decided to make an offer, and we did. Because it was based on seller financing, we not only got to make a dollar price offer, but we got to make an offer of all the terms of the contract. And so we knew nothing about it, and so we looked at some books at the library, and we looked on the internet and found out what are some reasonable terms. And then we took all of those things, and then we offered them less in every area than what the books or the internet told us to do. And so we offered them a lower price and a lower interest rate and for a longer term than, you know, typically seller financers allow, and a bunch of other things that would be in our favor to accomplish our mission and reduce risk of any potential foreclosure or anything else. You know, who knows what may come. And so we submitted this, and we decided, let's fast and pray. Now, never in our journey did we ever pray that God would bring us to Hawaii or that he would give us this particular piece of land. We always, from the beginning, realized that if we were going to be successful in any of this, we really needed to be right in the center of God's will. And so we always prayed, Lord, if you want, you can close these doors. It's okay if the land doesn't go through. Your will be done. But we know that you have a place for us. You have promised. In fact, I wrote here from Adventist Home, one of the statements where we're promised, God will help his people to find such homes in the country. And so we weren't relying on our own strength. We knew that we were going to have some help. And so we made this offer, and we fasted and we prayed. And 2 days later, we received a call from the agent. She said, the owners have accepted your offer. Now, realize that this was significantly less than what they were asking for. And it boggled our minds, because just a couple months earlier, they had rejected a much better offer of 100% with much better terms. And so we knew that, you know, God was doing something special. At that time, we looked at each other with amazement, and the real estate agent was amazed, and she said if she knew that it could have gone for that price, she would have bought it herself. She totally expected them to reject the offer. And so we said, okay, well, what are we going to do? The down payment, which was smaller than usual, is everything we've got of our living expenses. And so God's opened the door every step of the way. Why not put it all down? And so we threw it all down on the table, and the escrow expenses also. And we turned in a check to the escrow services. The property closed. Of course, all this time, many weeks, probably 5 weeks, we never had work. And I had blanketed East Hawaii with resumes and applications, and I got a couple few interviews, but nothing opened up. And so we said, well, we know that God has been in it from the beginning. We're still going forward. And so we went forward. Now, you may remember that some time ago, I had received a phone call that I had been hired for a part-time job at the new veterans facility in Hilo. They backed out of that deal, along with other new graduates that they had hired, because of some financial things that weren't working out for them in the main office in Oahu. And so for 6 weeks after I had officially announced in church that I was hired, no money was coming in, no work. And so I was getting more uneasy, and we were praying more fervently for God to rescue us. And we got down to the point, my wife and I, where we had $200 left. We had $200 left, and we had a pretty big mortgage payment coming up. And so we decided, what are we going to do? Well, we asked God enough. Why don't we just thank God for rescuing us? And so we began to thank God. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to rescue us. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan. And thank you, Lord, for building our faith. And so we just decided to start praising, you know, praising God. And what happened was a day later, after putting out, you know, perhaps 40. Well, let me say one other thing. I was tempted at times to jump ship. I mean, I saw the ship heading toward a precipice, and all my finances on board, and including debt into the future. And you know, I thought, man, if we just return to the mainland, even if it was just for a couple few years, you know, we could pay off a lot of this land and then come back. But none of that harmonized with how God had been leading us. And so we felt that we needed to stay on board. And as we got nearer to the precipice, you know, like I told you, we began to praise God. And the next day I got this call, which was interesting because it was not a result of anything I had put out there. Not an answer to my resumes or my applications. I got a random call from Oahu, from a temporary agency. They said, we need a nurse quick at a clinic in Hilo for 2.5 weeks. Can you come? And we're sorry it's such short notice, but can you come? And I said, sure. And so that was my start. And so for 2.5 weeks, I had work in Hilo, and I was delighted to work. And that was the beginning for us. I got a call a few days later from the veterans facility, and they said, we're very sorry that we told you we were hired 6 weeks ago, and oh yes, we're also sorry that we didn't call you and tell you what was going on. But we'd like for you to come into orientation. And so the day I finished the temp agency, I started the orientation. And then the veterans facility really covers our financial needs, but our commitment is also to debt-free living. And so God opened up, like I shared this morning in testimony, this opportunity in Javi, which is a tremendous opportunity financially. And it really can help us to aggressively pay off our debt and be out of, you know, to build a little ohana out of pocket and get that land paid off. And anyway, so we're really, really thankful for what God is doing for us. I wanted to read a quotation here in closing. It says, when God opens, this is Prophets and Kings 2:63, when God opens the way for the accomplishment of a certain work and gives the assurance of success, the chosen instrumentality must do all in his power to bring about the promised result. Now, check out this last part. In proportion to the enthusiasm and perseverance with which the work is carried forward, will be the success given. So not everyone receives the same results. Those who are willing to step out on a limb are promised that in proportion to their enthusiasm and perseverance will be the success given. And we've claimed that promise, and it's certainly coming true for us. We're thankful for all that God is doing. We're thankful to be here with you in Pune, and we look forward to many good years to come. So.
Amen. How many of you were blessed by those two testimonies? Amen. Wasn't that a whole lot better than listening to me? maybe next time. But I appreciated getting to know both of these young men, and really inspired by their story. So I really like the formula for success that Ryan gave, which is human effort and divine help. So I'd like to thank you once again. I know it wasn't, I didn't have to pull teeth or twist arms. I asked them, and both of them said yes right away. They were very, very willing and willing to help. So I really appreciate that. Can we stand now for a closing song? which is in our hymnals, number 590, Trust and Obey.